Hello, can you hear me, Lou? Are you there? Can you hear me? Brother Lou?
Hello?
Brother
Hello?
Lou?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
I
Hello?
can
Can
hear
you hear
you.
me? Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to put Lou on, okay?
Great.
Okay, great.
I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. Everybody, my special guest, if you're just tuning in, sorry for the technical difficulties. Oh, this is going to be a wonderful show. This is going to be one of those shows that you're going to remember, hopefully, for the rest of your life. It's not every day that we have an opportunity to speak with a legend. It's not every day that we have an opportunity to speak with an individual that has, has a message of healing, a message of peace, a message of love. And my special guest today, as you know, if you've tuned in, is that legend, Louis Gossett Jr. He's an American actor, best possibly known for his Academy Award-winning role as Gunnery Sergeant Emil Foley in the 1982 film An Officer and a Gentleman, and his Emmy Award-winning role as Fiddler in the 1977 ABC television miniseries Roots. Brother Lou has also starred in numerous film productions, including A Raisin in the Sun, Skin Game, Travels with My Aunt, The Laughing Policeman, The Deep, Jaws 3D, Wolfgang Peterson's Enemy Mine, the Iron Eagle series, Toy Soldiers, The Punisher, and an acting career that spans over 5 decades. Did I say Roots? Yes, I did. I mean, my brother here has given us so many memories, and an honor to have an opportunity to speak with him. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention his role in the Book of Negroes as Daddy Moses. And so what I want everybody to do is to get your cell phone. If you have a cell phone, get it out. Pull it out right now. Take a look at yourself. Take a selfie. I want you to look at yourself. And if you don't have a cell phone, get a mirror, because this show is about you. Without further ado, it is my awesome privilege to bring to you my brother, my friend, Louis Gossett Jr. Baba Lou, welcome back to Jawanza for Life. My brother, it's always great to have you. Thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be able to have the forum that you've given me. It's a wonderful release for my thoughts because at this age, called Baba, as they're calling me now, I'm restoring my job at this age to the younger generation for what it's worth. So I've come up with some conclusions that especially you African American people, get a cell phone or a mirror and look at yourself as I speak. Is that okay? Everybody ready?
I'm
Include
ready,
the
my
future ones
brother.
if you like. Okay.
Okay,
Now
yes,
let's.
sir.
Okay. So it is my opinion here at my 80th year old, and I've been through all of those inequities and all that stuff. Got handcuffed to trees, and I got flea bitten clothes and movie studios. That's all happened to me. And for some wonderful, magical reason, God has seen fit for me to survive it all and travel around this planet and to connect some dots. So this is just me for what it's worth. You look at yourself, and you are just a victim. You cannot be blamed to be gangbangers. You can't be blamed for being upset that you're unequal. You can't be blamed when a cop kills one of you. There's also you killing one another at a larger rate, the largest in the world, larger than Iraq and Afghanistan. So you're killing each other because that's a cancer. The only reason why you cannot be blamed because the lessons have stopped. So I will humbly try and give you a history lesson. If you look at yourself, this country at a young age was trying to build industry. And they did railroads, and these railroads need somebody to help this cotton industry, and somebody to help with the horses and to build boats and railroads. And they did some research, kind of a compliment in a sense. And they had the Chinese immigrants here, and they weren't working for it. Then they went to the Irish, and for a minute they had it, but they began to grow up and blend in because of the color of their skin. They could do that. The Jew had a hard time. Even them, they have survived. And there's a lesson from them, too, because now they're some friends of ours. But because of the difference in the color of our skin, there was an exception because of our background. Now, sometime during integration, we were told we were free to get free and get the great house and the kids and the job and stuff. But it didn't fit too well. The most attractive place in America at the time after slavery turned out to be the black neighborhood. And why? Because we resurrected our business. We took care of each other. Our streets were clean. We had the speakeasies. But at 5 o'clock, everybody would rush to the black neighborhood to eat the food and listen to the music and dance until the sun came up. Today, you don't realize, when you look at each other, upon whose shoulders you stand. You represent one of the oldest cultures in the world. So a research was done when they needed some people that they could control to help build this country, all the way from George Washington until today. And it's a mentality. They needed somebody. They did such wonderful research on the tribes of Africa to find out what tribe would fit what job. So they went down to Sierra Leone and the Ivory Coast, and they got the big brothers, all of them, most of them are football players now, through Texas and Louisiana, and they built the boats. They handed the cattle, worked in the oil rigs. They needed big, and most of them became football players. Then they get to the Mendes in Senegal, et cetera, in Liberia, and they're the ones who could handle and withstand hot, humid heat. And they did the research. Those are the best people in the world to pick that cotton. The best fishermen came out of Sierra Leone and Senegal, and the East Coast is full of those people who build homes and to fend against the weather and stuff and be successful with their fishing. They brought yams with them. And yams is a magical plant, and kale and collard greens. And they wondered how these people survived. Let's put them in. But they couldn't be equal. They had to be slaves. So they carefully figured out the best way to handle you is to not let you communicate with one another. They couldn't read a book. So in spite of that, we had an oral communication because it's in our DNA as the oldest, one of the oldest cultures on the planet. So now here you are, slaves, and they became very popular, and some of them loved you. Some worked in the houses, some worked in the fields, and you discovered organic foods. Even the pig was good because there was no chemicals in them, and corn, and kale, and collard greens, and roots. And the smell was so good, the master would say, "What you guys eating?" And you say, "Nothing, master." But they, it was to their benefit that you were strong and resourceful. And they helped get you even stronger than when you were in Africa. And our communication was done orally in song and dance. And we grew. We grew almost to uncontrollable places. And a monster was created here in America. And then Abraham Lincoln said, "I'm going to free y'all." And they said to him, "You must be out of your mind." And that's the bloodiest war on the history of America was the Civil War because of it. If you free those people, we won't be able to control them. So what happened eventually was there's two sides of town. They figured that out. The black side of town was one side, and the white side of town was another. You had your black mayors and your black schools. And because of that thing that was in DNA that started in Africa, you created your churches and your schools, and history was made from Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass and all those particular people. It was not supposed to be possible, but we took good care of one another. We went back to the African tribe, and we respected grandma and grandpa. And if you did something wrong in the streets, everybody had a chance to stop you. Those lessons were intact. So we're around integration. They told you now you can go and get those jobs and get that split-level home and go to college, most of them black, but some white. And you remember those headlines in Little Rock, etc. And you forged your way through. But the thing that they told you to aspire to was less than what you brought from Africa, even in a slave ship. The things that you learned in Africa was the key for their research to find out how you got that great, so great. And even today, as I travel around the world, everybody knows your rap songs. Everybody knows your dress code and your morale, even in today's commercials. I looked at the World Cup, and in the World Cup in Sweden, in Germany, in England, in France, and Spain, two-thirds of the team are men of color. Then we have some people that gave us messages, like Frederick Douglass, who'll come up if you don't know who he is, all the way through Prince to finally to Dr. King, and finally Muhammad Ali, who is symbolic of the maintenance of that DNA that's in our body. He evolved. Then there was Nelson Mandela, who had every reason to be very angry, but because of that DNA, he knew it was a better idea after 27 years to come out of Robben Island with a smile. That's God's way of doing things. Now today, because of the social media, we're fighting for rights and injustice, because you have a right to feel the way when a white cop kills a black kid. You have every reason to be pissed and angry. Every reason. Fighting for your rights and the change of laws and demonstrating. I hear you. But I think, gently, I want to remind you upon whose shoulders you stand and where the lesson stopped. The lesson stopped at integration. I implore you to go to the libraries and ask elders what it was like before. What it was like before you got into slave ship. What kind of society that was discovered when the European came to Africa. There's no villain in my story. And when you looking at yourself, you stand on the shoulders of those original tribes. When a man came, you were practicing animal husbandry. You were tribal, and the young kids, when they were 3, 4, and 5, had to go and gather nuts and fruit and put it in the middle, and everybody ate. There was a chief of the tribe. You learned how to fend against the lion and the leopard. And you had a society which is tribal. And you had the message that was carried orally from one generation to the next. That's how you got so strong. Now here we are today, fighting for these rights and getting angry as you are justified to get, but you don't have the lessons. They stopped. Lesson one. Where you live in the hood, you have to make the most pleasant place for anybody to visit. You have to be hospitable. You have to welcome them and share your culture and your knowledge, because you can't give away anything you don't know and have. You cannot be blamed for gangbanging. But you thought that maybe to be equal in society, by hook or crook, you would be equal with a pocket full of money and a lot of cars, and you're the king. There's a deeper and bigger picture. If you make your neighborhood safe and take that money that you might have made, even illegally, and help your sister, your mama, and the businesses for scholarships and loans, and clean up your street and minimize your liquor stores, make sure it's a safe place for a foreigner to come and visit so they don't get robbed or raped or shot. And you're a gangbanger, transform yourself into a minister of peace. You're being copied in sports and in politics and in commercials. You have no idea how powerful you really are today. So now there's something for you to do, because the lesson stopped. I'm starting with lesson number one. You're expected to be the leader of this travel, this thing for peace, no matter how many people die, like Muhammad Ali and others. You now have something to do. Clean up your act, clean up your hood. Take care of mama, your sister, your daughter, your baby. Make sure that the drugs stop. And shooting one another, you're shooting yourself when you do that. The lessons are returning to you. Ask an elder about their history. Now you have something to do as a minister of peace, so that the hood becomes the most attractive place for somebody to visit safely. When that happens, then everybody comes. Here comes the businesses, here comes the banks, and here comes the loans, to make the hood a very pleasant place to be. And in one generation, that cop used to shoot you on the street now might be the next door neighbor who went to school to be a cop. The doctor will be more sensitive to you, and the dentist, the banker, and the lawyer all come from the hood and stay there. But the job is on you. There is no enemy except the ignorance of not knowing your lessons. So you look at yourself now. And know you have a job to do. Some of you who are listening, I pray for you to listen. Those who do not, God bless you anyway. But you have a job to do. Your lessons are beginning to return to you. Take care of yourself. Be beneficial. Let God be in charge, or Allah, it does not matter. But you need to listen to those lessons and reassume the leadership task. And the bottom line is when you know that culture, one of the oldest in the world, that tribalism of taking care of one another and everybody being responsible for all children and everybody being fed together, your neighborhood will blossom. And the bottom line is that culture that you then know, you will realize that the society cannot survive without your input, a positive one. So they need to stop what they're doing because that's reaching a tragic end. That white is right. They're not the enemy. That's how they did it to keep you under control. We've come to the place now where they need our pure lessons to the whole of not American mankind, but mankind together through sports and politics and everything else, and add that to the whole of society. We've become the backbone of our survival. So you have in your hands the keys to the kingdom, but it has to be clean without resentment and anger, that is. So search and find out what that is, get on it, and may God bless you and Allah too. That's my contribution to you today as an elder. My name is Baba. Get back online with those lessons, learn what they are, and pass it on to the next generation, and everything will be okay. Thank you for listening.
Baba, 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 that is, I've got to let that sink in for a moment before I even ask your permission to speak. May I have your permission to speak?
Yes, sir.
Baba, I want to open the phone lines because the phone lines are full. You should see the people that have responded to your call. When they found out that you were going to be on, they responded. If you're listening online and you would like to make a comment or say hello to Baba Lou Gossett Jr., the call-in number is 347-324-5727. If you're already listening by phone, because you should have the phones in your hand looking at yourself or the mirror, all you have to do is just press 1, and it will let me know that you would like to come on, and you can say hi to Baba Lou Gossett Jr. while you have the time. Like I mentioned, it's not every day that we have an opportunity to speak with a legend, and Baba, somebody wants to speak with you. Are you ready?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number, 4391. 4391, you're on the air with Baba Lou Gossett Jr.
This is Queen Afua.
I knew it was. Hello, how are you, my love?
Wow, powerful. I am very well, thank you. Thank you so much, Baba Lou Gossett Jr., our living legend, for taking the stand and for speaking out and for harmonizing us and unifying us and bringing us into remembrance of culture. And that we do have everything we need inside of us, and it's about using it. But we need our elders.
The lesson stopped, honey. The lesson stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So we're aspiring for equality in a society that's not as big as our dreams.
Yes.
We'll always be frustrated unless we go back to our roots,
find out
what it is, and add it to the whole of society. It becomes the backbone. It's one of the oldest. It becomes the backbone. And it's salvation for us all. There's no enemies.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, so we need to contribute that wholesomely to the whole.
And it's so powerful because what you did in Roots is real. You know, for you to be able to, it wasn't a movie. It was life. And so you come out of that and you speak to us from this place of getting back to our roots. Getting back to our most ancient roots and using that to help to create this paradigm shift that we are being pushed, compelled, forced to come into. You know, so I thank you. I honor you. I'm so grateful that you're on the planet and you're strong and you're mighty. And it's just a wonderful thing to be in the company. And I bring to add to you, and what you're doing is what I know it's family healing.
It's family healing.
Family
the examples
healing.
Are there. Look at what Muhammad Ali did at his funeral. He had people who are enemies of one another worshiping him.
Unified the families.
He unified every person on the planet.
Didn't he? Yeah. That is the power.
And so did Mandela. After 27 years, he came out with a smile on his face, and he could very easily have said, kill everybody. That's not a bigger picture to him.
And then he came in place of power because he was that
and
evolved.
Absolutely. He evolved and flew to the top. Dr. King did the same.
Yes, yes.
So did Prince.
Saying, yes.
So is LeBron now.
And
we're all growing when we know who we are and what we have to contribute. Magic, all of those wonderful people have been sent to us for us to do what they do, if even more so.
Yes, wonderful. Well, I add to it cleansing and healing. So we start to purify, we'll start to harmonize. And
we
harmonize, then we can connect and we can protect.
Yeah, we invented the word organic. We invented the word organic.
Well, we're the original. We're the original healers.
Yes, and the nutrition from the earth, from the plants, from the kale and the collard greens and all things. And we survived because it was all organic. No chemicals. All nutritious. It's not the same way today.
And it's true, but we can return.
That's what we need to do is return. Yes, ma'am.
As an affirmation for what you're doing. What the ancestors told us, may we be protected by 70 purifications, which is unlimited, not counting, but it says unlimited. And the more that we heal and purify, the more connected we are to the source, to the Most High.
Yes, ma'am.
That
was
the very job. And then we will hear what to do and how to do and how to move and how to unify when we think that we cannot and how to overcome our traditions of violence coming to us. And so
I understand.
My prayers are with you. And, you know, it came to me some time ago. They say our way is dead. They say our way is no more. And that the ancient healing Nile Valley legacy ended thousands of years ago. But we are here, and we do remember. It is large in our DNA, tapped down deep in our melanin, our Kamor. So we traveled deep within, and we fasted, and we prayed. And then one day, right now, one by one, then two by two, then thousands, then we began to wake up to the ancient healing Nile Valley legacy. And we are here, and we do remember. Thank you so much, Baba, for helping us to remember and to bring our body members together in unity. With unity, there is power, there is strength, and there is protection. John, I thank you for allowing me to have a few moments with you.
I hope to have more with you.
And I'll continue to listen on.
I hope to have more because you're so important.
Thank you. Be well.
But those of you, you're one of the teachers of the lessons that have been stopped.
Yes.
You're more
here.
Important than we all realize. And the other thing, we can allay, because there's a fear. We have to allay that fear. There's no enemy. Those are lessons. And by example, we have to do those lessons to allay the fear that we're going to get revenge and be angry at our non-inclusion. We want to include them in our philosophy, which is older than the one we're trying to be equal in. So it has nothing to do with law. It has to do with the change of heart, that we all cannot survive without your proper input of all society.
Babalu, we've got more calls. Again, the phone lines are jam-packed. For everybody that's listening online, if you have a question, you'd like to make a comment, you'd like to speak with Babalu, all you have to do is press 1, and it will alert me that you have a question or a comment, and I'll bring you on board. Babalu, I want to go to somebody right now that I know that has a perspective that you would be interested in. Brother Rock Newman is with us. Brother
Hello.
Rock, welcome.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor and a pleasure to be able to come on with my highly esteemed brother, Mr. Lou Gotti. Brother, there's
how you feeling, my brother? You all right?
Long-term respect for you. I'm all right, but before we give each other the love that I know we have for each other, I want to tell your listeners, I want to tattletale on you just for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Back in the early 90s at the Black Oscars, you were sitting
yes,
at
sir.
The table with the guy who's the executive director, Al Nellums, and his wife.
Oh, my loves.
An extraordinarily beautiful woman. You flirted with her all night long, and as it's been told to me, she flirted with you also. And came
God didn't raise no fools. My people didn't raise no fools.
Look here, and she came home and bragged about it. That was my wife.
Uh-oh, until I said, God bless her, she found the winner.
My brother. Man, oh, man, oh, man. How are you, brother?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I just had my 80th birthday, and my best birthday present, besides my family loving me, is the doctor looked at me from head to toe. He put cameras in every orifice and looked everywhere, and I have one kidney, and I've survived cancer. He could not find anything wrong.
Oh, how special is that? How
All right.
special is
All
that?
Right.
You know, I heard you say when I mentioned the name of Al and Velma Nellums, so you
oh,
said
yeah.
my love. Man,
my
have
love.
There ever been two finer people on the planet?
No, there has not.
Oh, what a king and queen! What a king and queen! For the listening audience who might not have caught what I said, it was the Black Oscars, and what Al Nellums did way back when was he said, you know, we don't need someone else's validation. They give their awards to who they choose to give their awards to, but we honor those amongst us who we feel good about, who have represented us well. And I'm going to tell you, year after year, the Black Oscars was one of the special events ever in Hollywood.
Often the night before the big Oscars and the night before the Emmys.
Grammys. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, it is certainly a pleasure to be able to talk to you. You know, I've just been such a fan of your work for so very long.
And I hope to continue the communication, brother, so let's know how we can do that.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I do a TV show here in the D.C. area, and I want to put it out there right now. If you get anywhere close,
I will.
He's coming. He's on the way, Ron.
I'm coming. Yeah.
We'd love to have you on, brother.
I will be there. We'll make a Jawanza. We'll give you my number, and we'll arrange for that to happen.
That is fantastic.
I'm coming to celebrate the anniversary of the march.
Fantastic.
A thing called
and
Spill
we do,
the Honey.
We actually do the show from what we call those of us who attended called the capstone of Negro education. It was called. The Mecca, Howard University. We broadcast from
Absolutely.
Their studios.
So I've been there before, and I'll do it again. God bless you.
All right.
You got me. Okay. It's going to be great
Thanks
to hug you and shake your
on,
hand, brother.
Here, brother.
Huh?
Right.
Oh, thank you, Brother Rock, for coming,
get
it, my
get
brother.
Get the numbers from Jawanza.
Okay, I will. Let's hook up later.
I'm going to be in touch with you, Brother Rock. Thank you so much,
thank
brother.
You,
I really
you.
Appreciate you.
God bless you.
God bless you. That's a great one,
everybody. Oh, yes, sir. My special guest is Babalu Gossett Jr. Again, the phone lines are jam-packed. If you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, just to say hi. Again, we're talking about what's been going on. Brother Lou has given us some serious, serious thought to think about, something to really, really contemplate with his sharing, with his offering to us today. And we really need to look in the mirror, really need to look at our history, and like Brother Lou says, to look upon the shoulders that we stand upon. Again, all you have to do if you're listening by phone is just press 1, and I can bring you on board, and you can make your comment or ask your question. Again, if you have thoughts about what's been going on lately in the news, all of the, you know, the social unrest, Brother Lou has given us some serious, serious food to chew on. Would you like to join in the conversation? All you have to do is just press 1. My name is Jawanza, and again, my special guest is Babalu Gossett Jr. Brother Lou, you talked about we've spoken before, and mm-hmm. you've talked about perception, the perception that other cultures have of us when they see us. And you've talked about the importance of even just something as basic as pulling your pants up, you know, looking
respectable. Yeah, the basic is pulling your pants up and looking like you're ready to fight the authority. Being angry, justified. The worst resentment that we can all have is the one we feel justified to keep. May as well take a gun and put it to your head and say, I'll show you. There's a bigger picture than that. We want you around, out of prison, and responsible in your hood.
Mm-hmm.
None of you should die.
Absolutely. You know, Brother Lou, when we talk about healing, and we're talking about healing, there's so many layers to this thing. You know, you know, we're talking about centuries of pain, you know.
And research. It was research.
Absolutely. So when we talk about this type of healing, it's got to be done simultaneously. You know, I've heard people say that in order for us to heal, you know, as a community or as a human family, that, you know, we have to heal the black family first. But when you think about it, there has to be simultaneous healing. Because if you say that we have to heal the black family first and then we can start working with others, do you know how hard of a task it is to even, when you think about even healing yourself? And
our salvation, we're up against the wall now. Our salvation is necessary. We need to take the time to learn and spread it and be sensitive to another culture, know about their culture, and let them know about us.
Yes.
That's my foundation,
yes.
E-racism. Nobody's better
than
anybody else.
You know, I want to talk about for a moment stress and the role that stress plays in this, because everybody's walking around here apparently stressed out, you know. And
yeah,
when we talk
absolutely.
About a stress response, you know, when we talk about being angry and, you know, all of that and you know, just the role that stress plays. I see somebody online that whose perspective I want to get to, and I want to bring her on as well and add her into the conversation. Where is Dr. Lathan? Okay, she's here. Okay. Dr. Lathan, welcome to Juwanza for Life. Thank you so much for your patience.
Hello?
Dr. Lathan? Hello?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I was muted. I am happy to be on, especially happy to be on with your guest today, Baba Gossip. This has been wonderful to hear your perspective on this. And there's a lot of different things I think that need to happen. And definitely healing is one of those.
Oh, I agree. Are you finished?
Sure. I thought Brother Juwanza was going to ask me a specific question there, but
I would like to ask about the stress piece, because again, when we talk about everything that's been going on with not just been happening in the news lately. I mean, studies have shown that, you know, people are stressed out. And as a result of the stress response, we see what's going on. Could you talk about stress and the role that plays? Because this, by the way, Dr. Babalu, this is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's another holistic healer. She actually cured herself of thyroid. She cured herself, Babalu, of... Did you hear what I said about this lady? She cured herself of thyroid cancer by changing her diet.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and now
Absolutely. She's
a regular on my show as well. And so, Dr. Lathan, could you talk about stress and the role? I mean, even when we see what's been happening in the news lately and just, you know, historically even in this country, and the role that that has on us, and that's one of the layers that we need to use when healing. Just we need to come at it from a holistic perspective. Could you talk about that?
Sure. And when we just kind of, you know, look at the history as he was laying out, you know, what we've been through and what we need to do to kind of get to the next step, we have to acknowledge the stress of the traumas that we witnessed, you know, even watching the videos this week causes a, you know, somewhat
Absolutely.
Of a trauma for those of us watching that and seeing that repeatedly, you know, causes quite a bit of stress that we don't even understand how much it affects us. You know, myself, I'm, you know, upstanding, law-abiding citizen, but whenever there's a policeman behind me, my heart races. I get nervous, even though I've done nothing wrong. And so I have to acknowledge that kind of stress, and that goes on, especially in our communities, that we don't even realize, in addition to just everyday life. And so we
have to
understand that historical stress that has also been passed down, and that we have to find ways to acknowledge it and then release it in a very positive way. Otherwise, that stress turns into illness, it turns into anger, it turns into depression, and it's very destructive. And so we have to, number one, acknowledge it, that we obviously are under a bit more stress than most of society, just because of the way things are. And then taking that and saying, now what are we going to do about it? How am I going to release this stress in a positive way so that I'm not crushed by the burden of it?
I agree. That's kind of what I do on a daily basis. But I need to stay in touch with you too, Doc, to get your input so I can continue. I had a great grandmother who was a slave. I don't know how old she was, but the Bible didn't start until after the slaves were freed. And then when she came up to New York, where I was born, Brooklyn, she was the matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And she took care of all the children while all the people, the parents, worked most of the time as maids and chauffeurs and butlers, just like the film The Help. And she took care of sometimes 15 and 20 of me and my cousins.
Mm.
And she was the matriarch. So
right.
I had to do some crude arithmetic because the Bible didn't start until after the slaves were freed. And her birth was not recorded in that Bible. So she had to know the Bible being started, and she was not recorded. So some crude arithmetic in 1953, 1954, when she died. She had to be approximately 115 years old.
Wow.
And she saved our lives from the polio epidemic. She saved me from rheumatic fever, and my fever went up above 103. We were dying. And she went out in the backyard and got, I think, a yam, and cut it up and did something to it and put it around my feet and wrapped it in wax paper. And I woke up the next morning completely normal. Now,
there
I didn't come from America.
Mm-hmm.
She saved a lot of lives. As you know about Esther Ferreira, whatever she did in that. She had that knowledge all the way through slavery. It was passed down to her.
Mm-hmm.
It was a combination of African and Indian.
Mm-hmm.
All those old cultures have something to offer us. But because of the quest for money and financial security, it's stretched out into synthetics to rob us of the signs of illness rather than heal. Because it's money,
absolutely,
not healing. You got it. I'm finished.
Yeah, those remedies still work today.
Yes,
that you're
do.
Talking about, they absolutely work, and we have to, you know that we can still use those. We don't have to be caught up in the pharmaceutical system that ends up killing us early. We can use the natural remedies, you know, passed down from our parents, grandparents, great grandparents, which I use all the time. And so, you know, we have to learn those things and value those things and continue to pass them down.
And grow from there.
Exactly. Cause save ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that we, by example, have those other societies say, let us do some of that. We have a job to teach them what we know, to unify us all. Because every culture in the ancient places, the Asians, the Middle East, the Muslim, everyone has some of those remedies. And we combine those remedies together, we will save this planet. We have to keep the planet healthy so it still works. So that's the number one job, not who's better and who's worse. Who has all the money, all the food. We need to band together to save mankind and this planet. That's got to be number one.
I agree, and that's part of what I try to do, is teach people how to do that, especially in these times that we're, you know, living in, and specifically, you know, with stress and other things that are happening, and the other epidemics that are happening in our communities, you know, early deaths from heart attack and diabetes,
yes, ma'am,
and other things that we can work together to eradicate by education. And so with, you know, getting back to your question on stress, you know, one way that we can alleviate stress is a little bit of what we talked about last night was meditation and breathing. Deep breathing actually helps bring down the stress levels immediately. And then when you combine that with meditation, the act of just sitting quiet with your thoughts, with yourself, actually helps release stress.
And early yoga, stretching, a
absolutely.
Little walk here and there, and a constant
absolutely.
Reunification of your relationships with yourself, your loved ones, and mankind one day at a time, the first thing in the morning. Get yourself out of the way and know that your job is to pass on the keys to the kingdom to everybody you run into, and it's a program of attraction.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when we center ourselves, then we're better able to handle everything else that comes throughout the day.
We can neutralize a policeman who's scared of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have to believe that we're in control of these interactions, even though it doesn't feel like it, by controlling ourselves and the energy that we're putting out.
Yeah, it's just a simple test of faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dr. Lathan.
So I'm going to speak to my new doctor, Juwan, so I need to find my new doctor's number.
You know what? Let me pass it. She's a regular on my show, Brother Lou. She was on just last night, and we were talking about visualization, the role of visualization and meditation in healing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, you definitely want to connect with Dr. Lay.
Yeah, we need to put that curriculum together in my Shamba Center, which I'm having a 6 to 10 week course, like the synagogue. It's kind of compulsory for the kids to come in there, apart and aside from school and family, to learn some of these lessons that we're talking about today.
Wonderful. That's what I do. That's what I have dedicated my life to do because, we have to empower ourselves.
Yes, ma'am. So we're striving for a freedom that's not as big as what we really are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make that connection.
Please make that connection if you want to. Yes.
I certainly will. I can give your number to Dr. Lathan.
Absolutely.
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 Okay.
Thank
awesome.
You for our continuous
thank you,
lady. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, doctor. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Everybody, if you'd like to speak with Brother Lou Gossett Jr. and you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Brother Lou, you've established the foundation,
mm-hmm.
the E-Racist Foundation. Could you tell our listeners about the E-Racism Foundation and what led to its implementation? What made you start that?
It led to my personal experience. My childhood was a multiracial childhood, and we grew up together. And those are the people I grew up with would put me on the map. Mostly Jewish, but there was Russians, there was Filipinos, there was Italians, there were Irish, and we played together. All we had was a stick, a broomstick handle that we had to cut off, and some broke down scooters with one skate, and the women, all they had was rope and chalk. And we were in seventh heaven together. And that society grew up responsible, and we took very good care of one another. And when they grew up to get to the universities, and I went to school with them all the way through, I didn't come from a black neighborhood. I came from a mixed neighborhood right after the Depression. They became heads of the agencies, directors, writers, and fellow actors, and they pulled me up and said, here you are, you're Superman too. So they put me at the age of 17, never having seen a regular Broadway play, in a lead on Broadway in 1953. That's God's work, not mine. And I discovered the gift of performance. And I grew up with those particular people. A lot of people are dead, but some are still alive. And they're doing it again today. Because I've gone through my anger and my resentment. Because when I came to California, it wasn't the same story. And now we can't do anything else but get back together. Just the way it was in my childhood. In spite of the cops handcuffing me to trees and getting free-bitten clothes and wardrobe and being mistreated, I have survived it, spread it on to the next generation. You can't compare that childhood with what's happening today. We need each other desperately to spill into the American soup.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, yes. I was going to ask you if you could talk about the Shamba Center. Again, mm-hmm. that's... That
the
you, know, you,
Center
you come
is,
up with,
yeah.
and I
It's a Swahili word, meaning farm. You plant seeds. And I've asked the city of Los Angeles, who is very cooperative, and I have a potential partnership, and I can't say too much about it, with the Boys and Girls Club of America. So the place to put this test, 6 to 10 week program, is the Challenges Club for Boys and Girls at Vermont and 51st Street. It's all already built. Now, I would like for them to come 5-6 days a week, apart aside from school and home, to learn the lessons we're talking about today. And I have some people identifying every ethnic group that's in Los Angeles, and it's very spread, to send at least one young person between the ages of 8 and 15 to these sessions where they get taught about one another, they're taught about their dress code, their attitude, the knowledge of their culture and others, so there's a sensitivity, not an enmity, hygiene, physical fitness, spirituality, so that we know about one another's spirits. When you have to meditate, you have to be sensitive to it. And the most important thing, conflict resolution. And on my board, the number one society at Pepperdine Law School is the Strauss Institute for Conflict Resolution, and he's on my board. So they're identifying every ethnic group to send a child to a 6 to 10 week program. And once these curriculums, like the one the doctor has to offer, and the one the Queen of Fua has to offer, and others, to teach each other about one another's culture, and in every culture there's something to contribute so we know about one another. And then we're going to get out of the way and let people, the experts, interrogate and ask those kids who they are. The educational system is dying for it because they have to be doctors, mothers, lawyers, and police instead of teaching in schools. They're all for it. Mm-hmm. So now the lessons are returning, not just for blacks, but blacks is my lesson today, to contribute to that the information that Queen of Fua and the doctor has, and more, to these children so they know well about one another. And then let those kids, the next society that takes over, be racial free of racism.
Right. Yes. Yes.
We help one another just the way they did back in the tribes of Africa. So we have a large contribution there to be the glue of society without resentment and hatred and anger. We can save it. Other societies can do the same. The American Indian can do the same. The Latino can do the same with his roots from Aztecs and the Mayas and the Incas. We need to learn in one place what we all have to offer. And we can't do it with the scourge of racism in there. So we have to get rid of that and replace it with a brotherhood of peace and salvation for the mankind and the planet itself. Nobody wins otherwise.
And if nobody wins, everybody loses.
Yes, absolutely.
My special guest is Baba Louis Gossett Jr. The phones keep lighting up, Baba. Go back to the phones. 6948. You're on the air with Baba Lou Gossett Jr.
Baba Lou.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for your contributions. I myself have been a victim of anger. It turned into drug abuse and prison and a bunch of other things, but I've been free for 30 years now.
Well, you know the dynamic, don't you, then?
Yeah.
You know who's
dynamic.
In charge all along, don't you?
Exactly, and I've seen what you've put down in words. I've seen it in action with myself. But anything that can heal me can heal others also.
Absolutely. So you give it away in order to keep it, don't you?
Exactly. So I just want to thank you for putting this into programs that will benefit society and having the faith and the vision to do that. You know, you along with the others that you've mentioned, and know that Queen of Fua and Juwanza and definitely Dr. Lathan have done these things too, and everybody's making their own contribution. But I want to thank you in particular for this vision and this contribution, and I just want to give you an electronic hug and say hey,
thank
look,
you,
thank you, thank
and
you.
And hopefully
so much.
One day we'll sit in the same room and share our experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah. If I have anything to do with it, you can believe it will be.
God bless you, sir. Keep
I'll
coming
see
back.
You come to D.C. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you, Brother Juwan, for having him on.
Oh, thank you, brother, for calling in. I appreciate you. You know, Babalu, we actually do holistic health workshops. And, you know, my wife, Aquia Shepsentan, and I, we, you know, put on these holistic health workshops. And Baba Frank was there at the last one. Dr. Lathan was there at the last one. I mean, and we bring people together and we talk about holistic health and the role that that plays. Because we're about health and wellness, and we're trying to heal the family holistically. Holistically.
Yeah, I want to give you some props, sir. You have created this venue, this place. You provide this place where we can communicate. So you're so important to us these days. This
Thank
method
you,
of communication is extremely important. I wish you well, and I hope you get bigger, maybe for television or whatever, because you're doing the right thing that God put you on the planet to do what you're doing.
Thank you, Bob. I'm humbled.
Thank you
for that. I'm humbled because, again, coming from whenever you get props from somebody who you yourself hold in high esteem, it's humbling. And so I thank you. I thank you for that, Baba. Thank you so much. Everybody, my special guest is Baba Lou Gossett Jr. And we still have time. I mean, he's been gracious enough to spend the last hour with us. You know, while you have an opportunity to, you know, I just want to say thank you. Take a moment, Baba, and thank you for all of your years of the work that you've done. And, you know, oftentimes the work people do doesn't make the news. I'm sure that there are people that are tuning in today that will hear this show, even in the future, that know you as an actor but didn't know this side of you. You
this
know,
is number one today. This side is number one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's many
and,
movies coming
you know,
out, but that's only a venue to be credible. This is number
mm-hmm.
one. Upon awakening,
well,
you have to renew your
on
relationship.
Any project?
Yeah. Oh, there's
I'm sorry,
five
any
projects. There's five projects. One is with Nick Cannon in Jamaica called The King of the Dance Halls. Another is a double play with Ernest Dickerson of Spike Lee's DP. I did that in Curacao. And there's a thing called Breaking Brooklyn, which we're all looking very forward to seeing. Then there's a fourth one called The Reason, which is kind of self faith-based. And the fifth one is From Here to Insanity with James Caan. And they're all going to the film festivals. So I'll be everywhere there's a film festival, I'll be. But it's just still a conduit for me to be credible, to speak everywhere I have an opportunity to speak. And God has given me that opportunity to do this number one thing. Act like Baba.
You know, Baba, it's
that's natural.
You know, at 80 years old, you're still going strong. You're still getting work. You're still traveling. You're still, I mean, I heard you when you said that you got a clean bill of health from the doctor. And there's so many people at 80.
That's not supposed to be possible.
You know? I mean, and so I'm thankful for you, and I know that you've adopted a holistic approach to living, and you're a witness to
yeah.
it works. It works.
Yeah,
look
at the table of contents of what you eat and see what's in there.
Mm.
And I'll put something different.
You're going to make me bring Dr. Lathan back on.
Yeah, see what's in there. Yeah. It's for you
Queen
to call
four.
The doctor and the pharmacist to mm-hmm. get help, and then they got you. Our president, his first war was against the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mama died.
You know, you mentioned the president, Baba. Could you talk briefly about President Obama? I know that you have lived to see and experience, you know, just his tenure, you know. And like you mentioned many times that, you know, the excuses go out of the window. It's time.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
the president.
He can't wait
and,
to get out
what,
of there and really be strong.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the voice of reason, of growth. It came at the right time, And because of social media, everybody knows what people are doing. They've been doing that for years, but now social media has got it up to the top of the table. Now we need to do something about that and ourselves and go to the next level. He's brought it up. He's brought it up. And attention, America is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, not just some people. So we haven't lived up to that, those forefathers wrote. But all of those of us who are citizens have a responsibility to add positively to the input, not the negative. It is so important to do.
You know, Baba, before we leave, I just would like to introduce this into the discussion. And, you know, I hope that I do this topic justice in the brief time that we have left. And one of the reasons why we as people on the planet actually engage in the activities that we engage in, whether it's anger and, you know, all of these things, because we feel it's natural to do so as human beings. It's our identification as being human as opposed to being divine that is the source of our ills, because when you think that it's, as a human, that it's natural to get angry, that it's natural to grieve, that it's natural to worry, that it, all of these things, then you will engage in them thinking that there's no other alternative. And if you feel like it's natural to do that, then you would not even consider not doing it. Okay, but
absolutely, that stress brings us
if we as opposed to saying it's natural to get angry, and
right.
We'd say, well, if I identify with my divinity as opposed to my humanness, then as a divine being, I'm above anger. I'm above worry.
Yeah.
I'm above all of these things that have their toxic side effects. So if we can now enter into a discussion on a higher level, a level of divinity, with divinity being the goal, okay, with as
yeah.
opposed to being the goal being just a good man, or as opposed
right.
to the goal just being just a good woman, how about the goal being a divine woman? How about the goal being a divine man? You know,
yeah.
And then
absolutely, there are lessons out there for them to do that. It's never going to be perfect. All we have to do, though, is face in that direction.
Absolutely. And if that's the goal, if that's the bar, then certainly
the bar gets raised with each generation toward the light.
Babalu,
back to where it started.
You know, you have blessed us today. You've really blessed us just having an opportunity to speak with you for an hour or so. You know, you're one of my favorite people, brother. Every time I get a chance to talk to you, it's a blessing to me, especially when we have a chance to talk extendedly. And I just want to offer you the opportunity at this point. If there's one more chance, everybody, if there's anybody that you'd like to, I don't want to monopolize Baba Lu's time. If you have a question or a comment before we close the show, now's the time. Oh, somebody wants to talk to you, Baba Lu.
I want to quote what Richard Pryor said. I said this to myself. I reminded myself when I speak to you, I help myself. I said this to myself.
Wow.
And remind me what I have to do personally.
Thank you, Baba. Thank you so much. Okay. 4356, you're on the air with Baba Lu Gossett Jr. Thank you so much for your patience.
Good evening, and thank you. I'd just like to ask the question that when you're doing everything you know to do to project positivity and protect your peace and project your peace on other people, other situations, and it's still all of these negative things that are coming up, what do you do?
It's the main word, one word, faith in your program and where you're going.
Okay.
And you get tested. And then that faith doesn't get strong until you're tested and pass the test. All kinds of tests happen to you to test how strong your faith is. It has to be an undying faith that what you're into is better than what's happening to you. So you survive it, look back, and you've got spiritual muscles. That's resilient. And when you get out to the other end of that incident, whether it's a cop or a man, or a woman or a situation, you have to go into those steps with absolute undying faith, especially in times of crisis.
Exactly. And you have
so if you don't have that
assurance.
Faith, then you're a sacrificial lamb.
Right, because I seem to have the assurance that I'm on the right track, that I'm doing the right thing, and that I'm standing up and surviving. And when another attack comes, I survive that. Or when another instance comes, I'm surviving that. And you're having the faith that you're doing it right, but the onslaught is so great.
Yes, it is, because you have to get the faith that strong to be strong.
Right.
You need to climb those mountains that you don't think, in your mind, you can't climb. You do
right.
know how to climb them. You know how to keep that faith. But
you'll
be stuck. How do you combat it?
But how do you combat the stress?
Your protection is, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Let him do his job, because he created it all. Have a relationship that you must renew on a daily basis to have the faith that his thing. He's sending us signals now. Telling mankind to stop paying attention to racism, pay attention to this planet. It's going to stop feeding us all. As in my favorite phrase is, if we're doing anything else but taking care of one another and the planet, we all may as well be in this 747 airplane that's about to crash, but people inside the plane are fighting over who's going to be in first class. It doesn't matter if the plane is crashing. So all this stuff about racism, all the shootings, doesn't mean anything if the planet is going to die.
That's true.
Look at the headlines.
True.
That's foolish.
Yes,
we're
it
supposed
is.
To be contributing to the health of the planet and mankind. That's all we're supposed to be doing. Regardless of anybody sticks a needle in your arm, they pierce Jesus in the side. And he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Excuse me. Exactly.
We've lost Dr. King. We've lost Nelson Mandela and Muhammad Ali and Prince. But they gave us some samples of purity, of faith, that in times of crisis, we have the rock to rely on. So we give him all the credit and all the praise. And you wake up the next morning, and the act and the thing is behind you.
But it's not always behind you, and that's the reality of it all.
Reality is one of those lesser than things. Just I wish you strength, God's strength. Even in times of crisis, we're
and
human beings, and we suffer those things. I know.
And that's
but the worst resentment you
to.
Can have is the one you feel justified to keep. Give it away.
Where Give do it. You draw from when you seem like you've drawn it all? You know?
God's
I'm laying
strength.
Right now. I'm
I know.
Laying right
I hear
now
you.
In the hospital. Right now in the hospital bed again, the second time in 2 weeks, and I just feel like I have nothing else to give, and I'm trying
to
pull
Dr.
on
Latham
the
for
strength.
That one.
And I'm trying to draw on the strength, draw from a faith that I know is ever abiding.
Well, I'll tell
but
you a personal example, because we don't have a lot of time. I was time when I was growing up and learning these things just a few years ago. I was in an automobile accident, but I was not paying attention. I was dying. And I wound up in the hospital in a kind of a coma, I guess. And I was in that long tunnel that people talk about. And people in the past were going on each side. And they were all telling me to go back, go back. And finally I got to the end where I think I was getting ready to die. And I heard a voice saying, go back. It's not your turn. So I started to fight my way all the way back. I got rid of the drugs. I got rid of the legal drugs, I mean, because that's another way of slavery. And I started to look at the books and about the smoothies and the herbs. And I worked my way back from 298 pounds to my high school weight, 205. Today is where I weigh. The age and the worry disappeared because I gave God all the glory and I needed his help on a daily basis. And to renew your faith, even though you think it's over and you're sitting in that hospital, renew your faith as strong as you possibly can. So you don't have to go to that tunnel that I went through.
No.
And so it seems tough, but renew your faith. Daily you have to renew it, daily. And your mind will say, okay, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get strong enough to get out of this hospital. I'm going to call Dr. Latham with somebody like her, and Queen of Four and somebody like her, to restore your conscious contact with God and the proper people will come to your path, what you need, in your diet and your spirituality, and you will come back to life. That's a guarantee. So don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself now. You have a path to go through.
Exactly.
I know you're suffering.
Huh? I understand that, and that's not where I am. I'm not feeling sorry, but I do feel hopeless.
Don't feel hopeless because you've got hope.
I have to admit that.
There's no such thing as hopelessness. That's a disease.
Okay.
All right? If God wants you, he'll call you. And if he doesn't call you, then you're going to come out of that bed and teach others how you did it.
You know, Babalu, this is Queen Renee. She's been with me since the beginning. When I first started the radio broadcast, she was with me. I mean, she's been with me. She stayed with me. She hasn't left at all. I mean, and she's a regular listener to this show. And I'm just able to tune in today, Queen Renee, to hear Babalu, because, again, as he mentioned, as long as you're breathing, there's hope, right, Baba?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the worry, and then even if it seems to make sense, opens the door to that devil that wants you dead. Close that door. Mm-hmm. Have respect for the disease, but have a bigger respect for God or Allah, whoever you believe in, and choose every day to be in line and teachable to that higher power, which is the strongest thing on the planet. And the impossible begins to happen. And I was just like you in a hospital bed, honey. I've been there quite a few times. I lost a kidney. I have a stent. I've had cancer twice. And I don't have a trace of it today. And I didn't think so. And I sounded just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And here I sit telling that that's a tribute. That's my testimony. It's not a brag. It's a testimony. I know how you're feeling. I know exactly how you're feeling. But it's not within your mindset to think about anything else. You have to give that to God and get the next message of resurrection. If it's your time, then God will call you. But it may not be. It doesn't sound that it's your time.
Okay.
Make your
and
plan.
I wanna,
and get up out of that bed sooner or later and come back and let's talk again.
Okay.
God bless you, honey.
Okay. Thank you. And God bless you all. Love you, Joel.
All right. God love you.
Love you, too. Okay. I want to invite you to listen to the show we did last night with Dr. Lathan on meditation and visualization, because one of the things Dr. Lathan is famous for saying is that you have to see yourself. Well, you have to actually use the power of your mind to actually see yourself. Imagine yourself completely healthy, completely whole, actually using the power of visualization to actually make that shift so that you can actually, because when you're seeing yourself sad and you're in a situation like that, it's easy to, just think that, oh, gosh, woe is me, have that hopeless feeling. But if you can actually see yourself better, and I'm sure Babalu can attest to that, at some point your imagination had to kick, see yourself better. Right, Baba?
Yes, absolutely. There's stories that about the stuff we go the fastest with the president, and we come from Tyler Perry lived in his car for a couple of years, and he went from there to being Tyler Perry. And I remember my favorite story about this woman, I think somewhere in Alabama, whose child was under a car, and nobody could move that car. And she was old and timid, but for some reason she was able to go over there and lift that car and get that child out. That's not supposed to happen.
Right.
But she drew on something, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
My mother did, and my great-grandmother did. She drew on something, got that car enough to get that child out of there.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. No, and when we're sane, we don't think we're possible. So if that's possible, anything like that is possible. So when you get to that place, get that strength, get up out of that bed, and be representable for us like we need you, and God will call you when he's ready. But I don't think he's calling you now.
No.
He's putting you through
so
a test of faith.
And let me say this in closing. I don't feel hopelessness for myself.
I'm glad to hear that.
I see myself whole. I see myself projecting everything I need to. But I see situations around me that are far beyond my control, that
just
are just
a test
so
of your
devastating.
Faith. Yeah, I know. It's a
so
test of God.
Not necessarily me, but it's where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. hear you.
Okay.
Just a test of your faith.
Okay, well,
we have to survive this enormous test to be of service.
I'm acing the test, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, ace it, baby. Ace it.
I'm all right.
Ace.
All right, I'm looking for a hug when I see
you.
Thank
you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Be blessed to each of you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
God
bless.
Babalu, awesome, awesome. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your words of encouragement. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Again, I could talk to you forever, my brother, but I know I want to be respectful of your time. You've given us more than we've asked for. You've given us more. You went above and beyond. You went the extra mile today with us, Baba, and I am certainly appreciative of that. Any parting words for our listeners today, Babalu, before we leave?
Just keep the faith. Go toward the light. Keep the darkness behind you. And God will meet you halfway. Or Allah. It depends on who you believe in. But you got to believe in something stronger than you. Something that's going to save your life. And you have to renew that relationship every day for the rest of your life. And you get the best messages and the best signals.
You know, Bob,
I'd like to get the recording
of
this, if it's okay with you, so I can share it
with
who haven't heard this show. I just need to send it through the Racism Foundation to all people. I'll see if hopefully it'll go viral. Because it helps me, hopefully helps somebody to go in the right direction.
I know that it will. By the way, I want to extend the greetings to you from Brother Ben Vereen.
Hello. That's my man.
Sir.
Yeah, tell him to call me. He has my number.
Okay, will do. So, Bob, I want to say thank you so much again for all of your years that you've given us, all of the sharing that you've done with us over the years. You've made us proud. And, again, I know that for people to see this side of you, you know, they've seen you get the awards. They, you know, we've enjoyed you in all the movies and more that I mentioned at the top of the show. You know, we enjoyed you in all of those movies. And, you know, even as you shared your testimony with Queen Renee and, you know, everybody that's listening, people need to hear that you can go from being laying in the bed to carrying that bed. And, you know, you've just blessed us today, Baba. And, again, I thank you. I'm going to pass your information. I'm going to connect you with Baba Rock Newman. I'm going to connect you with Dr. Ruby Lathan. You've already connected with Queen Afua. And, you know, again, I just want to humbly thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule with all the projects you got in the works now. You know, to find time to come on the show, again, it's a blessing to have you and always great to speak with you. Thank you for your time today.
And last time, this is not a threat to white folks. This is a promise of love and compassion for us all. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Baba.
Gotcha.
I really appreciate it. Love you, man. I'll be in touch with you.
I love you, man. Okay, call me back afterwards if you'd like.
I shall.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody, I'm not going to say was, that is Louis Gossett Jr. Again, he's also an author. He's an actor and a gentleman as well. An author and a gentleman. Okay, so by the way, he's written a book, an autobiography. If you have not gotten that, you need to get that. It's called An Actor and a Gentleman. Okay, so you definitely want to get that book as well. I guess you can Google that and find out how you can get that. Just an awesome, awesome individual, and we really had an awesome time this afternoon. To all of the callers, I want to say thank you. To all of the people who actually just tuned in, even if you didn't call, you're just listening, thank you so much. Again, share this link. You have the capability of doing that. If you're on Facebook, all you have to do is just click share and then send it to your friends on Facebook. You can, if you have the link, you can just email it to whomever. Let's make this go viral. Babalu is 80 years young, just got a clean bill of health. I mean, has come back from death's door to be with us today. And I am so very humbled and thankful that he was able to come on and share with us again today. Now, again, we have an archives. So if you know that, you know, and I know everybody, I don't know anybody who's not a Lou Gossett fan. So you can, people that you know may have missed the show, you can actually direct them to the archives. And in the archives, you'll hear other shows with, you know, like I mentioned, Dr. Lathan, I mean, Dr. Watkins, Dr. Ted Watkins, I mean, and others. I mean, just we've got shows on spirituality. We've got shows on, I mean, you name entrepreneurship. I mean, you name it. All you have to do is just go to the archives and scroll down, and certainly there's going to be a show there that you're going to find interesting. So my name is Jawanza. Name of the show is Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine, because that's what we talk about. We talk about health, we talk about wealth, and we talk about your divinity. So I want to take the time to thank you for your time. Again, thank Baba Lou and wish him much continued success, much health, and may God continue to open doors, Baba Lou, for you. Because, again, you have just been a blessing to us, and I hope that we can have you back real soon and we can continue this dialogue, because it's not a conversation that we can have once. We've got to keep putting it out there, keep putting it out there, keep putting that out there. And so to everybody, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. You could be doing something else, but you're taking the time to call in and listen and share. So until the next time, again, my name is Jawanza. Peace and blessings.